Crossy Posse Packer Nation! Welcome to another episode of Packcast, the podcast where you don't have to be a Packers fan, but it sure does help. I am your host, Tom Grassi, and, well, we ain't got nothing to play for except our dignity and our pride, which arguably was lost several months ago. But this Sunday, we still got a game. We still got a game. And it's an away game, a chance to win our first away game of the season. That hurt as I said it. But that being said, we will be in New Jersey taking on the New York Jets. And so because of that, we have a good friend of the show, a diehard Jets fan, host and creator of the wildly successful Dennis Has a Podcast, Mr. Dennis Holden. Dennis, my man, we finally got you on. Thanks so much for being here, bud.
Tommy, thanks for the invite, my man.
Listen, it only took me 4 years, but that's not my fault. I didn't pick when they were going to play the Jets. That's not my fault.
Well, we only play every 4 years, so now I'm glad I didn't get passed over.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, as soon as I saw the schedule, I booked this, months ago with you, I was just like, hey, Packass? And you're like, yes.
And I'm still looking at SeatGeek and StubHub and all that kind of stuff. For two awful teams that have nothing to play for, the tickets are still pretty expensive. I think I'm still going to go,
yeah.
But these tickets are still are selling like hotcakes.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, I've been perusing for the past couple weeks, and they actually, like, for lower bowl, they just dropped down below $100, like, today. So I'm probably going to buy them, like, the day before when I can get, like, good tickets for, like, $65, and I'll be very happy with my purchase.
So are you going to bring your whole setup to the Meadowlands, or how's this going to work?
No, I'm just going to go as an admirer of a dumpster fire that is the 2018 Green Bay Packers. I'm not going to stream anything because, to be completely honest, I don't think anyone wants to see this game, and it's just going to be, I'm going to go there, I'm going to have a $55 beer, and I'm going to go home, and then I'm going to do a reaction video with, you know, the beer that's in my fridge, and then I'm going to call it a night, and I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this game on Sunday with lots of mixed emotions, just a lot of, I don't know how to feel. Like, as a Jets fan, this is a familiar feeling for me. I know it's not for you,
no.
But for me, I'm like, I want to win the game. Like, watching the game, I want my team to do well.
Yeah.
But at the same point, the Jets have the third pick in the draft if the draft were to happen today.
Yep.
So I'm also kind of rooting against my team. It's a weird kind of time to be a fan.
Yeah, no, I hear. And that's kind of been the argument that I've been having with myself / other fans for the past, probably, it feels like the past month, in which, like, you know, like, oh, let's just tank it. Let's get, like, you know, a top five draft pick and call it a day. But, like, I never want to go watch a game where my team is going to lose. Like, if I go to the stadium, right, on Sunday, and my team loses, I'm not going to walk out and be like, I'm so glad I spent $100 because of fees per ticket on that just to watch them crap all over the field. I don't think I'm going to feel very satisfied with that. But then again, even if we beat the Jets, I don't know if I'd feel very satisfied with that either.
The Jets have a lot of young talent. You know, I'm sure we'll get into it, but I think going into next year, we'll have a new coach. We have a ton of free agent money. We're going to have probably a top five pick. So the Jets next year, you know, you want to see some moments like Sam Darnold is leading some four-quarter drives and doing some things and not throwing pick sixes a lot of the time. But at the same point, you know, like what happened this past week on Saturday against the Texans, they were in it, they were competitive, but they lost in the end. I'm kind of okay with that.
Wow, that sounds very familiar, that idea of like, oh, you're right there. It's like that, what was that, that Geico commercial with the old guy who has like a dollar bill on the fishing rod? He's like, ooh, almost got it, almost got it. That's how I feel the season has gone for the Green Bay Packers. But, you know, people can't take a knee, so that is what it is. Anyway, so talking about, you just brought up a potential head coach shift, and listen, you might be getting Mr. Mike McCarthy, because that's the rumors that I'm seeing. That's the rumors that have been flying for the past couple months, even when McCarthy was still there, that potentially the Jets would be looking at him. But looking right now at Todd Bowles, you know, back in 2015 when he came on, you know, he led you guys to a winning season, you know, going 10-6, and, you know, it was better than the Giants and the whole nine yards. I was like, oh, okay, like, this is going really, really well. And then for the past 2 years, finishing at 5-11, And then this year, currently 4-10. So, kind of, can you explain to me from a fan's perspective what happened? Because, like, it started off so well. That was my very analytical and journalistic question. What happened?
He seems like a good man. He seems more of a leader of men than, like, a football X's and O's kind of guy. He's not an aggressive kind of coach. I was kind of hoping he'd turn into Riverboat Ron and really become aggressive, and yeah, he's never really embraced that. The first year, the Jets were winning their end. I actually went to Buffalo with our good friend John Sapinaro.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, hoping the Jets could win in Buffalo. Buffalo had nothing to play for. It's cold, but not Buffalo cold. A windy day. The Jets obviously don't win that game. A seven-hour drive home in the blistery, snowy weather back in New York City. And since then, it's just not a lot to be hopeful for. You know, we had the Ryan Fitzpatrick era. We've had the McCown era, the McCown era, Josh McCown. And it's been fine, but it's been a lot of hope that doesn't lead to actual happiness.
Wow, that was deep. That was. I love how the first thing that, like, to describe him, you're like, he's a nice guy. Like, that's something, like, when your friend is trying to set you up with this person, that you're just like, she has a great personality. Like, you know, it's just, you're just like, who are you setting me up with? And I feel like, obviously, you know, would you be happy with a Mike McCarthy, like, era coming into New York? I'm kind of curious in seeing what the pulse is like on Mike McCarthy. Obviously, as a Packers fan, I respect the hell out of the guy. I think he's a really good coach, but I just think that there needed to be a change. There needed to be a shift. And I'm curious if you're kind of like, I'll take that.
You know, it's funny. It's a conversation I've been having with my Jets fans friends recently, and I don't want, my thing has been, I don't want a retread coach. And not to say he'd be a retread coach. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been in one spot for, what, 11 years? I kind of want someone with an offensive background. I want someone who can develop a quarterback. I want someone that's going to have an offensive mindset, because the last bunch of Jets coaches, Rex Ryan, Mangini, Herm, all these guys have been defensive-minded. So we've never really had that offensive-minded coach. So give me someone who could develop this quarterback. Darnold has had some moments. He has, what, 14 touchdowns, 15 interceptions as of this recording. But he's had some moments. He's had some talent. And, you know, McCarthy, by all accounts, is an offensive dude, but he didn't get along with Rodgers, although Rodgers seems like, you know, he doesn't get along with a lot of people, unfortunately, although he's the talentedest dude in the world. But you tell me, do I want the McCarthy era? Is he going to make Darnold go to the next level?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, the guy, like, that is a wonderful question, because you have, right, you have Aaron Rodgers, in which, do you attribute that to McCarthy? Do you attribute that to just, he is that damn good? Do you attribute that to sitting behind Favre? Or, I mean, like, do you attribute some of that to the relationship he had with McCarthy, and McCarthy putting him in the best situations for success? Because you look at the Super Bowl run in 2010, you look at the 15-1 run in 2011, you know, in which we had, like, it's 2011, God, breaking all the offensive records. But the problem is that was 7 years ago. And looking at the opposite of that, like, you got Brett Huntley out of this, and Mike McCarthy going, oh man, like, I really believe in Brett Huntley. And, you know, the guy could chew gum really well, but that was pretty much the extent of his natural skills. And so, you know, you look at a guy like Darnold, in which you do have a young QB. I kind of agree with you that you do need that offensive minded coach, because I feel like there's a shift coming when it comes to the Jets, because, like, you're trying to get excited about that offense. You know, whether or not they actually will excite you is a different question. But, like, you have Darnold, yeah, like you said, 14 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. He's thrown over 2,300 yards, but he's thrown an interception every single game except three of them. So I feel like he's obviously super duper green, right? Like, he's definitely a rookie, and he's hopefully just going to grow from that. But I kind of agree with you, and I think you need an offensive-minded coach, and unless McCarthy completely throws out his playbook and the way that he kind of calls the game, I don't know if you're going to get that in him.
Yeah, I think the thing that scares me is you know, especially the last couple of years, or my impression of the last couple of years, and you obviously know this better than I do, is that, you know, Aaron Rodgers was not thrilled with the play calling or the playbook or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like that relationship wasn't there. So so much as I want, you know, someone with some pedigree, but I want someone who is going to be the best development of a quarterback. The defense is fine. You got Jamal Adams. You got some players on the line. You got some decent linebackers. The defense could grow a little bit and get better.
Sure.
But right now, you know, we want to bring some skill guys in. Who knows if we bring in Le'Veon Bell in next year and throw a ton of money at him. We have a ton of free agent money. But the biggest thing is we need to, you know, build up the offensive line, give this kid some weapons, and, you know, become that offensive team that I'm not sure we've ever been.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I mean, because even you go back to your back-to-back AFC Championship games, that was off your running game and that was off of your defense. Like, that was it. And, you know, it wasn't Mark Sanchez. So, like,
I know you're just stating facts, but that's cold, man. Cold.
Listen, you know, never forget the butt fumble. Never, ever forget, regardless.
Whoa. How do we go right there? You know what? Son of a gun.
It was right there. It was, sorry, I had to. You know, just ran right into it. But that's the thing. No, I agree. Nah. Like, so what you've seen out of Darnold, like, is that... Because you knew he was going to play, and I do have to ask you this one question, because this was something that actually was, like, mind-boggling to me, and I still don't understand it to this day. You guys signed Teddy Bridgewater, right? Super cheap for a year. The guy plays really well in preseason, and then you trade him to the Saints. Why? Like, I mean, like, wouldn't you want... Because I understand that the majority of your first-round QBs are usually just thrown into the fire from the beginning, and I would argue that most of the time that actually doesn't really work out well, but you had a chance for him to learn behind a semi-veteran quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. He was playing all right, and if Teddy sucks, then you throw Darnold in. It kind of just seemed like it didn't make a whole lot of sense.
I think with Bridgewater specifically, I think we got a third or a fourth round pick for getting that for somebody just signed off the street, essentially. Like, I can't argue with that so much.
Gotcha.
But I agree with the sense of, you know, why start the kid? Because if the kid is bad and then you bench him, that is infinitely worse than starting the veteran and then going to the rookie. Does that make sense?
No, it makes 100% sense, yeah.
So, I mean, like, I was a big believer of redshirting him. I giving them some time. You know, my boy, possibly my favorite Jet of all time, Chad Pennington, I think he sat for 2 or 3 years before he got called into duty. Aaron Rodgers sat for a bit. Obviously, that's not, you know, there are exceptions to that rule, of course.
Sure.
But I'm a big believer of, listen, just being a 20, 21-year-old kid, he's the youngest quarterback in the league or one of the youngest drafted quarterbacks ever. Like, I can't imagine living 16 weeks in the NFL, going on road trips, being in hotels, having to pay for your offensive lineman stakes or whatever the hell else they got to do. Just learn how things work, get good, get reps in practice, and then, you know, do what Mahomes did this year and somehow turn into a super stud. That's the way I would have played it, but you know what? Hopefully he gets a lot of these mistakes out of the hopper now, and then going into next year, you have all this money, you have his high draft picks. Hopefully they can turn that into a very quick turnaround.
Yeah, and kind of like talking about Darnold, just to kind of like finish that off, were you, when he got drafted, I have to imagine, because he was ranked up there, like, I think in a bunch of mocks of like being the best all-around quarterback in the draft. So when the Browns go for Baker Mayfield and the Giants go for Barkley, the whole nine yards, like, were you kind of happy that Darnold fell to you?
I was thrilled. When we traded three second-round picks to go from 6 to 3, I wasn't thrilled about it because you don't know who you're going to get at 3.
Exactly.
You're just trading for an idea. But then when Baker went and won, which was surprising, not shocking, and then being in New York, I think we all had a sense that the Giants were going to go Saquon. So to have, you know, arguably the best quarterback in the draft fall to you, and giving up 3 number 2s, and, you know, we can go through the Jets drafts. They are horrible at taking second-round picks. They trade 3 number 2s to go from 6 to 3, and having the guy, the suck for Sam and all that other nonsense, be there with the third pick. Listen, Saquon's a stud, and, you know, and Baker Mayfield looks like he has some talent. But you know what? The Jets actually felt like they actually had some good luck, you know, fall their way for the first time in forever. And who knows if he'll be the guy or not, but... you know what? It's hopeful, and we don't have too much hope around these parts.
There you go. So, like, looking at your team right now, right, where would you identify, like, the biggest issues currently? Obviously, you know, the offense is, you need some more offensive weapons on there. You mentioned that there were some key personnel in the defense that were allowing you to get through. But, like, for you, what are, like, you looking at with this team saying, like, this needs to be addressed ASAP this offseason?
I would say skill positions. Skill positions on offense and pass rusher on defense. Like I said, we drafted two safeties in the draft, what, 2 or 3 years ago. Jamal Adams has been a stud, but both of them have been solid. We made a big off-season signing, cornerback with Tremaine Johnson from the Rams.
Yep.
He's been okay, hasn't been worth all the money, but he put that much money in the cornerback. You don't really have to do too much with that. I think D-line is something we absolutely need. I think linebacker is okay, but I would spend money on defensive line or spend capital on defensive line. And then on offense, you know, listen, Corral's been fine. Powell's been hurt. And he's my boy, and I hope he comes back. But a neck injury at 29-30 in the NFL at running back,
yeah,
you never
good.
Know about that. Wide receiver's been okay. There is some talent there. I like Anunua. I like Robbie Anderson. Jermaine Kearse has been fine. But they don't have that, like, true stud. And they haven't had a tight end in 5 years. So, you know, listen, I wouldn't draft offense with the third pick. If it was me, I'd trade down and really try to stock up and spread that talent around. But really, the Jets need skill guys, and I feel like that's something that could have been said for the last maybe 20 years or so.
Oh, jeez. You're just like, any day now, we're just going to turn that corner, and we're going to get there.
We're still talking about the Wink or Bet era, so, I mean, yeah, it's been a long time.
There you go. I mean, like, so, because the last time, what was it, 2010, I want to say, was the last time you guys were in the playoffs? I want to say it's 2010.
09 and 10, the back-to-back. If we talk about these back-to-back AFC Championship games, like, it's like we won the state championship. It's, like, so depressing.
I mean, like, the only reason I knew that is because I think because the Bears are obviously going to make the playoffs this year, that the only team that has gone through a longer drought is the Browns. So, like, things are turning around for them. So, like, that means sunshine's coming, right?
I'm not, you know, it's funny, like, listen, I've been a Jets fan since, I don't know, 1990, 91. I remember the Jets getting into the playoffs the last game of the year at 8-8 in, like, 90 or 91, going to play the Oilers. So it's been almost 30 years, and there have been few and far between. You know, the 98 Jets was led by Testaverde, and the next year he tears his Achilles, and then, you know, the 41-0 shutout of Peyton Manning at home in 2002, and the back-to-back AFC champs. There have been moments.
Yeah.
It's not like it's been entirely bare, but we just have never gotten over the top. We go into Foxborough and beat Tom Brady, but then we can't go beat the Steelers. You know, we have a big win in San Diego, then we can't go beat the Colts. We've gotten it. We've had some moments, but I just want 1 year to put it all together. It has to happen. It's going to be 50 years since Super Bowl III coming up. Like, we're due. We're very much due, Tommy.
I hear you, buddy. It's okay. It's okay. I feel like this has just become, like, I'm going to bill you at the end of this hour. Just like, I feel so much better now.
Give me your PayPal. It'll be fine.
That's it. I do have a random question for you.
Sure.
Because our teams are linked via history. You were the pit stop for Brett Favre on the way to Minnesota.
Sure.
I wish he stayed there. I'm not going to lie. I wish he just stayed with the Jets and where he wasn't hurting anybody. But that being said, that era, so what is that, 2009? No. No, that's not
2008. 2008, because that was before... Yeah. Yeah, because that was a Mangini year before Rex Ryan, before Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, that makes sense, because that was Rodgers, I think, first actual season. So, yeah, 2008, you're naming, like, these big moments, and obviously, like, I still remember, like, Brett Favre, like, beating New England. Like, that was a big deal for, like, the Jets fan base, and they're like, oh, my God, like, this is it. Kind of like, can you, if you remember, like, kind of walk me through kind of like the roller coasters of emotions that you had to have felt, like, of getting Brett Favre, you get this Hall of Fame quarterback, you beat the Patriots, and then that's done.
you know, it was such a surreal experience because the Jets, it doesn't feel like make moves like that. And if you remember, that was the year, or one of the years, I may have been on it before, but he was the cover guy for Madden Football that year.
They had two covers.
And so they had the two covers. So my buddy sent me like this big 11 by 17 poster of Brett Favre mocked up in a Jets uniform for the Madden cover, which I still have in my office space, which is pretty funny that you mentioned that.
There you go.
So the Jets get Brett Favre, and it's like, oh, man, like, yes, let's do it. As much as I love Chad Pennington, he's hurt all the time, and I was sad because Chad's my boy, and we had some great memories, but it's Brett Favre, and you got to do it. And they start off that season 8-3. They're really looking super awesome. Brett Favre throws 6 touchdowns in one of those games. And then I think he hurt his biceps or did something.
Yeah.
And they finished that year 9-7 and out of the playoffs. And before you know it, he's off to Minnesota. But it was an interesting year. It was a surreal year because as much as you love Chad, like, you have an all-time great quarterback. And if I had to do it all over again, I would. And I just hope that he doesn't get hurt, you know, halfway through the year.
Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah, the mystique of Brett Favre. Is definitely there, and I love Brett Favre, but I was always curious because, like, again, talking to Vikings fans, they obviously have a very different experience, you know, that first year of going to the NFC Championship game, you know, almost going to the Super Bowl, and then kind of blowing it the next year. But I don't think I've ever asked, like, a Jets fan, I was like, how was that? And you're just like, I was just happy to be nominated.
it was one of those things that's like, you know, you become the cool kid in high school for a year, and it's just like, oh, man, like, we have the star quarterback. It's like, oh, this is what it feels like to not be, like, doom and gloom all the time. And it eventually came. It eventually happened.
Sure.
But we started off the year 8-3, and I'll never forget that. It was a really cool feeling.
Okay.
Obviously, I wish it ended it differently, but, you know, it happens. We're the Jets. We don't have too many happy moments.
So it goes. So, and, you know, it's funny, because, like, having this conversation with you drastically reminds me of the conversation that I had with Browns fans last year, in which, like, it's one of those things, like, they always use that term, like, the moments, right? Because it's like, listen, like, you start out in the offseason, you're as hopeful as humanly possible, you know, and you hope to see, like, those glimpses of, like, oh, okay, like, you know, that's a guy you keep, that's, you know, some personnel that will do well for the team in the future. But I feel like, and this is something that I reiterated a ton last year, that, like, when we had Huntley and things went bad, and even this year, like, the Green Bay Packers are a lucky-ass organization. The fact that...
Oh, for sure.
Like, it's insane. Like, we complain so much about, well, Rodgers only has one Super Bowl, and, you know, yada, 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 yada. And it's like, listen, the fact that we were in that many NFC Championship games, you know, it was 3 in the past, like, 10, 15 years, right? You know, and we have 2 Super Bowl wins since the 90s. You know, it is very difficult to do that. And you look at a team like the Browns and like the Jets, where it's like, oh, man, like, yeah, those few years, like, we were okay. Like, we were pretty good. And then you have those long droughts. Like, the Packers don't have that. And that's what I'm, like, trying to drill into people's heads of, like, be very happy for what you have. I understand you're upset that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have, like, 5 Super Bowl rings. I get that. I'm upset, too. But it could be so much worse.
Well, it's funny because you do 6 shows a year with your division. So, you know, you talk to Lions fans, they've won 1 playoff game in 60 years. And you have the Bears who haven't won a Super Bowl, haven't won a Super Bowl in 30 years. The Vikings haven't been there in 40-some-odd years. So you do 6 shows a year, and that doesn't remind the Packers fans how lucky they have it. I don't know what the hell else would.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Well, I think the problem is now is, like, Vikings fans, Bears fans are so intolerable, so it's kind of like, you know what, like, I refuse because I don't want to lose to them. And then the Lions fans, I feel like there's just an overwhelming, like, pity for them, so, you know, it's from everybody, even from the Lions fans themselves. So I feel like it's, you know, it's okay. You know, if the Lions won the division, I'd be like, okay, like, you know, it's not the end of the world, it's fine, it's all right, they deserve, let them have this one, let them play, let them have fun.
It's, you know, being in New York, you know, I think I know more Packers fans than I do Jets fans, which I
really
think is absolutely hysterical. Yeah, for sure. For a lot of, like, I know, what's the place in the city where they don't do food, but they bring in food and the whole thing?
Oh,
the Packers bar that I'm forgetting about.
Yeah. Hold on. It's like Kettle of Fish.
Kettle of Fish, right, exactly. And my friend Sam was like, she's like, you got to come down. and I didn't go. I wasn't feeling well, but I want to go hang out there at some point. But like, it's one of those things where, you know, I respect the Packers. They're a fun team to root for. I remember, you know, I'm 34, so, you know, 22 years ago when Brett Favre won a Super Bowl down in New Orleans, I got the Packers hat. I was a big Brett Favre guy. So that was a fun team to root for. And then they go and lose the next year to Denver, who eventually got us. So, that, you know, I still have a lot of love for that Denver team. But, you know, being a Jet fan, you know, there are a lot of Patriots fans, too. And on my show, you mentioned the wildly successful Dennis has a podcast. I talked to a friend of mine who's grew up in Boston, and he's a Pats fan. He's like, I hate me. Like, I hate Tom Brady. Like, I, you know, I'm a Pats fan, but, like, it's not fun. We've had 20 years of this wild success, and he doesn't know what it's like to actually be a fan anymore. So as much as I don't, like, I want my team to win, and I want my team to win so badly. It's been 25 years since any of my teams have won, since the 94 Rangers won the Cup. As much as I want one so badly, I don't know if I want to be a Yankee fan or, you know, a Patriots fan or whatever, where you're winning every year, because that can't be fun either.
Listen, like, I'll take 5 Super Bowl rings, Dennis. Like, I'll take that. You know, I know exactly what you're saying, though, because, like, listen, when it eventually turns around for the Jets, right, and you have, like, that first, you get into the playoffs, whole nine-yard season, like, that's going to be, like, that amazing feeling, right, of, like, oh, my God, like, this is incredible. Like, we did it. Like, it took forever, but we finally did it. And I feel like that, like, euphoria is going to be, like, so, like, incredible. Like, you do look at the Pats fans, and they're like, oh, yeah, you know, we clinched the first seed again, or the second seed, or, oh, got another bye, or, oh, another AFC championship game. And, like, I understand, and, like, and listen, I know plenty of Pats fans, and trust me, they're very happy about their 5 Super Bowl rings, and, and I don't doubt that. But kind of, like, looking at that, like, I think you're right in that, coming from, like, that winning mentality, you know, I think it obviously makes losing incredibly difficult. I think whenever Brady and Belichick finally go away, like, you're going to see just an exodus of Patriots fans and just be like, yeah, never again, especially if they start losing. And then, like, you know, but when it comes to losing consistently, that just makes that winning feeling, like, so amazing. Look at the Browns. Everyone got free beer in Cleveland when they got one win. One win. I mean, it was still Bud Light, but, you know, it's free beer.
It's funny because, you know, I grew up in the suburbs of New York, and, you know, I'm very lucky to work in New York City and do comedy in New York City and do the podcast in New York City and all this stuff, but I am a secondary New York sportsman. So I'm a Mets fan, and I was there for the World Series when we lost in 5 games. And I'm a Rangers fan, and I was in the bars in New York City when we lost the Cup Final in 5 games. And I'm a Jets fan, like I said before, like, we treat these 2 AFC Championship game appearances like, you know, yeah, Super Bowl victories in a lot of ways. I don't, you know, the Knicks haven't been good in 20 years, so I just want the Jets to be, like, it's funny, I'll ask you this is more of a hypothetical question, but would you rather have, you know, one championship but be good for 20 years, be very, very good for 20 years and win only one championship? Or would you rather have, like, 2 championships and be pretty crappy the other years? I think maybe the Giants are another team like that.
Yeah, no, I would definitely take the first one. And because that's what the Packers essentially have been doing, right? Like, they're always in it, obviously not in the past 2 years, but they're always in it, and it always makes exciting football. Like, that's the thing. Like, I always, if I get another week of Packers football, I'm a happy person. So, you know what, even if I was saying this on the show, even if we lose in the wild card round this year, and obviously we're not going anymore, like, I'd be okay with that, and just be like, you know what, at least I got one more week of watching the Packers. And that's what it's like to be a fan, right? Like, you want to see your team win, and you want to see them be successful, and you want to see them there as much as humanly possible, and for as long as you possibly can.
So what does the rest of the season look like for you? Are you going to, like, are you actively going to, like, do play-by-play against the Bears? Like, what is the playoff run for the Packers?
Oh, yeah, that's... So, yeah, what we're going to do with Packers is we'll probably... So I'll stream a Saturday game, and I'll stream a Sunday game. If it's the Bears versus Vikings in the wild card round, I'm just going to be... I am just going to drink copious amounts of alcohol that entire time and just weep and just be like, I hope they both lose. Like, I just hope the best thing that I could hope for in a Bears Vikings playoff game is just a quick death. That's all I could pray for, because like that's all I have to look forward to. But yeah, no, we'll stream those games, and oh god, you know, and hopefully the Bears, you know, they lose in the divisional round, and you know, I can just like root for the Saints or something, and call it a day. Or like the Chargers, like teams I don't mind, and I'm just like, I don't actively dislike you, you're not in my division. So yeah, it's gonna be weird for the second year in a row kind of watching just as a fan. But like I did last year when the Vikings went to the NFC Championship game and had potential to play a Super Bowl in their stadium, I just hoped with every fiber of my being that they would lose.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the playoffs. Like, I'm in a weekly picks pool, so I'm trying to, like, at least be competent with that. But I just, you know, as much as I want my team to be there, I love that first wild card weekend. That divisional round is probably the best weekend of
football,
certainly
yeah.
Pro football of the year. Yeah, it's a good, what, 4 or 5 weeks. And, you know, as a wrestling fan, we get the Royal Rumble in there. So it's a good week to be a sports and semi-sports fan. So January is a good month.
You know, it's funny you mentioned wrestling too, because like what you were saying before kind of reminds me of that. Like if you root for somebody, right, like, and they're not getting the title, right, like the journey is almost like better, like, than actually winning it. Like the winning it of like the euphoria and like, yes, we did it, that's great. And then they have the championship and you're just like, okay, like it's not as exciting anymore. You know what I mean? And I feel like that spoke to what you were saying before.
Well, that's what Danielson was. I mean, like, listen, I graduated high school in 2002. So in my high school yearbook, there was a Mets logo, a Jets logo, a Knicks logo, a Rangers logo, a Notre Dame football logo, and a Chris Jericho logo.
There you go.
And as a fan of crappy sports teams, when Chris Jericho won the title for the first time in October 2001, like, I lost my damn mind. I made my mother order the pay-per-view. I did the whole thing. And I was stoked because, like, that was the first time anything I rooted for won. Like, Jericho was never going to win the title, and they finally put the belt on him. And, you know, I never thought it was going to happen. And honestly, it hasn't happened as a sports fan since in 20 years. But it's good to have those moments, and we love our teams, and we love our guys. And as a sports fan, Tommy, I don't know how much you talk about this on the show. As much as I love my teams, I root for my teams. I generally, sincerely don't really root against other teams because I don't have that mental energy to do that. I want my teams to do well. I'll root for a team and root against a team in a game, but like I'm not actively rooting against the Giants or the Patriots or the Dolphins or whatever. I just want my team to do well, and you know, if other teams doing badly helps my team, then I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I have enough hate in my heart to hate the Vikings and the Bears. Like I have plenty of hate to go around, but that makes you a better person than me, and that's, you know what, and I'm okay with that, because as long as the Vikings and Bears are losing, morals go out the window. So
tremendous.
Absolutely. So this Sunday in the Trash Bowl, what do you see happening here? You know, do you think the Jets are gonna pull out a win? I keep saying like Aaron Rodgers is gonna come out angry, but then I just wind up being angry. So I honestly don't even know, because it seems like you guys are playing better when you are at home. It obviously is in MetLife. How do you see this game turning out on Sunday?
I don't know enough about the Pack's defense, but it doesn't seem like it's been super awesome. What's the spread on this game? Like 2.5? I think your guys are laying 2.5, give or take.
Probably. I mean, all our defensive linemen are like in the hospital. Like they're on either IR or everybody's hurt. Everybody's injured.
So my question ends up being, the Jets offense has been, they are 24th in the league in points, 30th in yards. They're not good running the ball. They're not good passing the ball. So it's really going to be that Jets defense against that Packers offense. So if you're asking me who's going to win that battle, I'm obviously going to look to you guys. But I'm going to contradict myself. I see the Jets kind of pulling this out. Something in the, you know, 27-24 range. Something in that range.
All right. Well, the Packers, technically, if they lose out and a bunch of things fall their way, the highest pick they can get is the number 3 pick that you currently possess. So, again, I will be upset if the Packers lose on Sunday. But there will be something in the back of my mind going like, it's okay, Tom. Everything's going to be okay come draft day. And I'll be like, all right, that'll get me through.
I mean, it's enough things as sports fans now between, you know, fantasy and daily fantasy and draft picks. And, you know, if we can hedge ourselves as much as possible. So it's like, oh, our team lost by 35, but, you know, so-and-so scored 75 points in fantasy. So, you know what? Was that the worst thing that ever happened? Yeah, I can live with it.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. I have so much to occupy my time and interest that I'm just like, okay, it's not the worst thing. So we're good. But, Dennis, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thoroughly appreciated it. Where can all of the peoples find your lovely face?
You can go to DHAPShow.com, at DHAPShow on Twitter and Instagram. You can also see me in Astoria, Queens. Obviously, there are a lot of Mets fans that are Packers fans because I know them. But if you're a Mets fan, go to QueensBaseballConvention.com. I'm going to be emceeing the event. We're going to have Keith Hernandez, Edgardo Alfonso. Mr. Met will probably be there. Prizes, the whole thing. So come check that out. And, yeah, follow me, hit me up, and let's talk some sports.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thanks again for coming on, buddy. Much appreciated. And you know what? Hell, good luck on Sunday. Because, like, you know what? At this point, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, I wish you the best of luck. I want that third pick, baby.
So go check out Dennis. He's a phenomenal person. I've been on his podcast many times. And he had Chris Jericho on his podcast. So go check the man out. He's a beautiful man. You can always find me at TomGrossiComedy.com, TOMGROSSI Comedy, or at Tom Grossi Comedy on Patreon, Instagram, all the social medias, Twitter, Facebook, all that great, wonderful stuff. Also, podcasts on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play Music, and of course here on YouTube multiple times a week. Most likely going to the game on Sunday, so we won't be streaming the game on Sunday unless something drastically changes. But we will be doing a reaction video sometime after the game and sometime after I get home. But thank you so much for watching. I'm Tom Grounsey, and as always, go Pack, go.